If you don't mind, stand with me this morning. How many of you all have a lot of things to be thankful for? As we stand here today, how many of you all have a lot of things to be thankful for? And I'm going to ask us all to stand in honor of Jesus Christ as a church. I want you to know that if God hadn't come, I want you to think for just a moment. I want you to think about your whole year. I want you to think about all those beautiful moments you embraced this year. Those moments in worship that you were like, oh, Jesus. None of that would have happened if God hadn't have come. Did you all realize, I want to tell you why you're standing this morning. If it were not for God making a move, you know what I'm looking at right here? And you know what I'm standing in right here? I'm standing in a condemned human being. Because there's no way I'm going to forgive myself. Some of y'all been working on forgiving yourself for a lifetime. The reason that hadn't worked is because you can't. But let me tell you, here's why we're going to pray this morning. God made a move. God made a move. That's Christmas. It's simply this, that God made a move. And I just want you to lock this in this morning. God made a move. Say it with me. God made a move. When I couldn't move. Come on. When I couldn't move. God made a move. That's Christmas. Now take each other's hand, because guess what you're holding on to? Here's what I want you to know this morning. You're holding on to a human being that God loves. You know what you're holding on to? You're holding on to a human being that God made and that God loves. And I don't know what that human being's been through. And you know what? That human being may not even know why it's been through what it's been through. But I want to tell you some great news this morning. You're holding on to a human being made by God and loved by God no matter what. Made by God and loved by God no matter what. And when you get there, if you can get there, you'll start seeing Christmas. So I say in the name of Jesus, let's let the star shine today. Amen. Let's let the star shine today. Lord Jesus, first of all, God, I just want to thank you in the name of Jesus for this congregation. I want to thank you for every story, every bit of it, the good and the bad, the beautiful and the ugly, the twisted and the straight. Because God, I want to thank you that in this room this morning, because you came to us, nothing's impossible. Amen. Nothing's impossible. God, I got a smile as I look over this room because there's some folks that weren't here 5 years ago that thought they could never step in a church. But not only have they stepped in a church, they are living a new life because you came and you brought your love. Amen. So God, I just pray right now that we will embrace your truth and live out your love in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 You may be seated. Man, I'm excited this morning, as I am all mornings, but especially this morning. The advent of love. And I want to let you know something. God loves you. You've seen it on a few bumper stickers. You've heard Christians talk about it. But I really want you to know this morning, God loves you. That's the bottom line of Christmas. God said, no matter who you are, where you came from, what you've been into, how you've been doing it, guess what? God loves you. As soon as that baby came forth from that virgin's womb named Mary, love has been pronounced. Love has been pronounced. Isn't it amazing in the church? The greatest of these, love, is the hardest thing we deal with. It's the greatest of these. You know, I hear very few seminars on love. I see very little literature on how to love more and how to release God's love more. I see a lot of energy going in to religious practice, but very little about the love of God. You know why that is? It's hard to have a seminar on something you can't make. It's hard to have a seminar on something you can't do. It's hard to be an expert on something you can't control. And so guess what I'm inviting you all to for the rest of your lives? An uncontrollable Christmas. How many of y'all are glad to know that Christmas is uncontrollable? Nobody could stop Christmas. Nobody could stop Christmas. Now hold on, I want y'all to get this in you. You know what? You know what God told me today? Occasionally He speaks to me. Occasionally I hear Him clear. And it's probably not because He's not talking. It's probably because I'm not listening a lot. And God speaks clear. And this morning He said, Rev, tell them. You tell that church of mine this morning. You tell them. They are unstoppable compliments of me. Nobody. See, nobody can stop the love of God. And what we celebrate today is nobody's been able to shut down Christmas. Nobody's been able to shut down Christmas. You can take the nativity scene out. You can say happy holidays. You can run around and try to drink yourself through Christmas. But I got some great news this morning. Nobody can stop Christmas. Not even the Grinch. You can't steal it and you can't change it. And I want to show you why. Because God made it. You can't steal it and you can't change it. Because God made it. Now here's where Christmas starts. You and I are sinners without the hope of God unless Christ comes. Does everybody get that? Give me a head nod. Give me a head nod. See, I want you to understand, we're all sinners. Because I know what happens. Some of y'all walk in here and you see some people that have been walking with Jesus for a long time. And you go, man, I can't be like that. I remember I used to go to church and people had perfect hair and they had perfect language and it took me a long time to figure out they were faking it. But when I came to church, I thought, oh man, that's a place of perfect people. And I knew everything I'd done that week. I even knew what I'd done on Saturday night before I got to church on Sunday morning. You know, and I found this out, that a big Bible and a suit will not cover up sin. Because I could pull it off on Sunday morning. I tuck my Bible under my arm and put my J.C. Panas suit on. And I would walk into First Baptist Church. How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? How you doing? Good to see you. Good to see you. And in fact, I think growing up in church, as far as we got was shaking everybody's hand. But you know, if you just smile and not say much, they thought you was a believer. If you just be kind, open the door for older people, and oh, he's a sweet young man. Baby, you have no idea where I was last night. You had to chew a lot of gum on Sunday morning. Hello. And you know what I found out? That Christmas is a bottom-up experience. It starts right where we are. And you know what? I guarantee you some of you came in here today doubting that God loves you. Just absolutely doubting. How many of y'all think sometimes I've done so much God isn't going to have anything to do with me? Anybody ever had that thought? Come on. Oh, man. You know, God, He may love everybody else, but I don't know if He's going to love me. You know what I'm talking about, Dr. Ward? I mean, now He loves everybody else theoretically, but I don't know if He can love me because I've just done. How many of y'all have just done too much? Okay. One of you, two of you. Hey, some of y'all forget we've had some sessions together. I go ahead and get you. I want to go ahead and confess. I have done too much wrong to get to heaven. Because here's what the Bible tells me. We worship a perfect God. A holy God. We worship a God that is love. We worship a God that is grace. We worship a God that is hope. We worship a God that is pure joy. And it tells me that if we have sinned one time, we have separated ourselves from what has created us. But you know, Christmas came. Christmas came. And you know what came at Christmas? God's love. And guess where God started out? In a barn. And I got to thinking about that. Why in the world, God, would you be born in a barn? Humility, I really believe that. I do, sister, I do. But you know what? God came where I was.
Amen.
In the barn. And the barn can be the fine hotel. It can be a big house. It can be the delights of this world. But I'm telling you, you can have everything in this world. And if you miss Jesus, you have gained nothing. I see it every day of my life. I got some of my precious friends chasing that dime, chasing that dollar, chasing that new thrill. And they're running on empty because they've never received the love of God. And you can't take enough pills. You can't drink enough booze. You can't run around with enough women or men. You can't get enough of this world to be satisfied. That's why Nick Jagger's ain't shut up yet. He ain't got no satisfaction because he's yet to receive the God that loves him. And until you receive the God that loves you, you know not. Now follow me. Love is life. I mean, I'm glad to know God loves us. You know what I found in our sophisticated religious practice? You know, Freddie Hampton, I forgot the greatest verse at times in my life. And all of you four-year-old preschool four teachers, you teach us this verse. And I remember, how many of y'all remember getting that construction paper? We probably use Palm Pilots now, but back in the old technology days, with papyri and construction paper, and it's a little square piece of construction paper. We usually put some kind of artwork on top of it and some kind of artwork on the bottom of it. And Miss Debbie, mine said, God is love. It'll take me all of eternity to realize how deep that simple statement is. How complex those three words, God is love. Church, if you mess up on everything else, don't mess up on loving one another as He's loved us. As I look at the journey of Hillview Heights Church, have we gotten everything right? No. Look who your pastor is. And I'm going to tell you one thing we've learned to do is to love. And I have tears in my eyes. And they're not tears of pride, but they're tears of great joy when I hear things about this church. They'll take anybody. That's what they say about us. They're right. Because you see, we know God. And God will take anybody. And God will let anybody. Because you know what? There's a lot of folk that live in the barn. And that's where Jesus was born. Amen? And think about it. Jesus came into that barn. They thought they were going to shut Him out. There was no place in the inn. God from the very beginning said, when you think there's no way, I'll make a way. Does that sound familiar? When you think you don't have a room, I'll make a room. Because you see what? God can turn a barn into the palace of salvation. God can take a barn and make it a birthplace for a king. Anybody got any love now? You see, what God does is He says, I want to meet you where you are, and I want to take you where I came from. Does that make sense? I'm going to meet you right here where you are, but I'm going to take you to where I came from. Because you see, Jesus is love, because Jesus is God. And here's what Christmas is. It is God revealing Himself in humanity so you can go with God. And so I can go with God.
Because I don't know about you. I mean, a lot of you are a lot smarter than I am. But when I get to contemplating forever and the God of all the universe and all of those kind of things, I get lost. And I feel like a speck of existence. A molecule, Nathan, of insignificance. A quantum atom of being. But when God joins this little molecule, when Jesus takes the hand of this little molecule, when Jesus speaks grace into our existence, I can see forever because He's holding my hand. And the more I follow Him, the more I know one thing. Jesus loves me. This I know. And it's not just because the Bible tells me so. It's because He's forgiven my wretched soul. And my sin is no more. And what used to be filled with anger is now filled with forgiveness. And what used to be filled with doubt is now filled with belief. And what used to be dead is now alive. That's how I know He was born in Bethlehem. Amen? The Bible tells me so. But folks, here's where we miss it. You gotta let the Bible get in your barn. Amen. I mean, y'all got the barn door shut. Back in the old days, they'd always say, things went on behind the... That's your era. Okay. Chuck, that was... Chuck's going, yeah, I remember that. They said that about me. Yeah, huh? Amen. How many of y'all heard behind the barn? Now, see, if I preach that at 11, they won't know what I'm talking about. But it's interesting to me, I hear these slogans behind the barn, and Dr. Ward, guess what? Jesus, He didn't go behind the barn, He came into it. Why? Because He loves us. And I want to take you to Romans chapter 12, verse 9. And for just a moment, I want to ask you to do something. How many of y'all believe God loves you? You got to start there. How many of y'all accept that God loves you? How many of y'all accept that God loves human beings? I'm glad to be worshiping a loving God, aren't you? But I want you to understand, when we say He's a loving God, He's a serious God. Love's serious. Love's serious. Love is a commitment that is unshakable. Man, I don't know about you, but you know, I love you guys. I stay because I love God. But I love you guys because God loves you. See the difference? You don't want to run on my love. It's limited. My love's judgmental. My love doesn't go very far. How many of y'all find out your love doesn't go very far? Elizabeth and I just celebrated 23 years of marriage this weekend. And watch this. It was 22 years longer than I thought it was going to be the first year. But you know what Elizabeth and I had to learn? For the first year of marriage, we tried to live on our love. That lasted about 3 weeks. And then we fought all the time. She didn't fight back. I just yelled. You know what I had to figure out about marriage? Wait a minute, God. If you love me, then I got to love her with your love, because my love won't go far enough. My love is limited and God's love is unlimited. But my love's limited. I can confess that today. My present isn't big enough to get it done. But God's gift lasts forever. Amen. I'm limited. God's unlimited. Y'all get that today? And I want you to realize, after you accept that God loves you, then you got to receive His love. Amen. Receive it. Receive it. How many of y'all ready to receive it? Yes. Now, how many of y'all been trying to give God's love without receiving God's love? It's a common mistake of preachers. That's why you see so many of them so prudent up. They're trying to love everybody on their own accord. That's why they're so mad. Because people will, they will tick you off. People will. Amen? How many of y'all have people just tick you off? You tick people off too. Did you realize that? Huh? Every time I'm in an airport, I love watching people. They'll go, man, they're weird. And you got some weird guy looking back at you saying, that's weird. You know, but we tick each other off. So watch this. We got to receive God's love. Now, I'm going to talk to you about this because I'm going to give you three rhythms and we're going to close this up today. You got to receive it. Watch this. When it comes to the original Christmas, it's better to receive than give. Now, let me really understand Christmas because it's been humanized. You know, we got all these humanists out there. Oh, it is better to give than receive. You ain't got nothing to give. Man, how many of y'all can come to you? I ain't got nothing to give. What am I going to give you? A moment at its best. Oh, I might make you feel good for 5 minutes. I can speak an encouraging word into you, but that's going to fall off. You know, I can hype you up. I got one of those personalities, get you all ready to go. But I remember my football days. We'd yell and scream for 15 minutes, go out on the field and get beat by 4 touchdowns. So that doesn't work. Can't live on hype. God knows you can't live on looks. The Bible's really true when they say that's fading quickly. Amen. No matter how much cream you put on it, it still rolls up, doesn't it? I mean, it's amazing. So I don't have enough to last there. I'm not going to be here long enough to get it right. So you see, really on a hot summer's night, there was a little baby born in a barn, unlike any other baby that had ever been born, because this was God's baby. And it was God's baby with a plan.
Yes.
And wrapped up in those swaddling clothes was this message for every one of us. Hello, I am God. I love you. And now you must receive this baby. Because this baby is going to permit you to love beyond your capability. Isn't that what Christmas is saying? Now, once you receive God's love, then guess what you can do? Give God's love. Pastor Shane, you ever seen anybody out there trying to give it away and they've never received it? It's ugly. It's all those folks that got all those do's and don'ts. Oh, don't you do that. God won't be pleased. God is not a mother-in-law. God is a father and mother that loves us deeply. God has this unique way of being both of them at the same time. I've had God father me, there ain't no doubt about it. But you know what? I've had God mother me too. God has this knack of when you're skinning your knee, He can put you on His lap and give you a heavenly band-aid and everything's all right. But God's also got those beady eyes and He'll look over at the big old nose He's got and He'll look down at you and say, boy, you better straighten up. And in that way, He'll father you. Amen? And you know why He does both of those? Because He loves you. God loves us. So you got to accept that He's going to love everybody. I think we're that far along here at Hillview. We accept that God loves. Now, we're still working on it. I got to receive the love of God in my own life. And then guess what? We give it out. You know what you do with love? You give it out. But you got to receive it before you can give it or you'll be giving your stuff. It's just not enough. Which is, if I'm nice to you, guess what? You met a nice person. Whoop-de-doo, go to hell. I mean, I'm serious. Disney, nice place. You can go to Disney and go to hell. I mean, you can love Mickey Mouse and Minnie Mouse and they'll dance Fantasia with you in the pits of hell. Y'all can all be good together down there. Or you can realize that God, whose name is Jesus, was born in Bethlehem, crucified outside of Jerusalem, risen from the grave, and wants to get in your life and bring you to the love of heaven. You got to receive it to give it. And guess what? If you accept it, receive it, give it, then guess what's going to happen? You'll live it. Can y'all get that? Merry Christmas. I'm going to Romans, I promise. 9, 12. What's going to be coming out of you? Merry Christmas.
Love one another as Jesus Christ has loved you. How many times did Jesus say, love one another, love one another, love one another, love one another? How many times did He say that? That's right, a lot. I don't know exactly how many times. If He said it once, it was enough. But this is a repeated theme. He didn't say, go be a religious champion. He said, go be a lover. How many of y'all like a God that is designing lovers? Who do we love? We love God. Jesus, lover of my soul. I love that song. Took me from the miry clay. You got to live in Kentucky to understand some miry clay. And if you go to the barn lot, there's miry clay. I mean, when you have to go feed cows, and I had my big old rubber boots on, and I was walking around in the miry clay. And I see that every time I see that song, and I go, man, I had my life in the miry clay. I'm glad Jesus knows how to get to the barn and dry up the miry clay. Amen. And why? Because Jesus is what He is. God is, come on, work with me. God is what? Jesus is. Look at this, Romans 9. Love must be sincere. Is God's love sincere? You better believe it is. It will do what it says it will do. That's what sincere means. Sincere comes from a Greek word meaning without wax. The sculptures and the artists of that day that sculpted, created image of that ancient time. Some of the artists would put wax on the sculpture if they had made a mistake. How many of y'all have tried to put wax on your mistakes? Let me bring it up to date. Makeup. We even have makeovers. How many of y'all notice those makeovers don't last? If you ever watched Oprah, you see them people come up there and make, what do they look like 2 months from now? They've been made over again. See, God doesn't want to make us over. God wants to love us through. See, sin covers, love reveals. Isn't that neat? Well, sincere meant without wax. If you were going to go buy a piece of sculpture, you would knock on that sculpture and you would ask that artisan, you would say, hey, is this sincere? Because you wanted it to be sincere. Because Pete, let me tell you what you're going to do. You're going to get, you know, a nice sculpture. You probably get one, you know, and you set it out in front of your front yard, and then it would get hot and your sculpture would change. Now, how many of y'all's love changes when it gets hot? Yeah, I got a lot of friends as long as things are going well. You won't believe how many people at Hillview through the years have told me they love me until I said no. How many of y'all got children? They love you real good till you say, no, we're not doing that. How many of y'all have ever had that reaction? No, we're not going to do that. Well, you don't love me. I can't believe you're confining me. Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. How many of y'all have heard that one? This was my reaction line to my father. He sits in this service. He knows it's true. I'd say, Daddy, everybody's doing this. He said, well, there's one less person than there was. My father would not budge. And oh my God, at that moment I thought that he was the most clueless man in the world. I thought, Dad, how can you choke down my cool? Can't you understand that God's given you a son that's probably the coolest human being He's ever created? And you want to cap that son down. Now, as an older man, I look back and I realize that my daddy's no was a loud, I love you.
Amen.
You know why? My daddy would rather please God than please me. Now, if you really want to love, you see, receive God and love one another. Jesus never said, love each other as you know how.
He said, love one another as I have showed you. And you know why Jesus stayed constantly in the flow? He always loved the Father. Amen. He stayed sincere. And when you stay sincere, guess what? It doesn't matter if it's hot or if it's cold or if there's a lot of money or if there's no money or if chaos is going on or calm waters are present, you will stay steady in the storm. Amen. And some of you are living that life. Amen. Here's the blessing of growing older. Eventually you realize most of it doesn't mean anything. How many of y'all have come that far along? Come on. Y'all want to start living life? Most of it don't mean nothing. Or let me get a little more honest. Most of it just lasts for a moment. How many of y'all this far along? God is forever, and I'm in a moment. It said, love must be sincere. And then it said this, it said, hate what is evil. You know why love opposes evil? Because evil opposes life. Why was there resistance as soon as Jesus was born? Why did evil come after Jesus? Huh? Evil comes after one thing. Life. Evil doesn't want to see things live. Evil wants to hold them down. Wants to keep them captive. And all of a sudden, here's a little baby born in Bethlehem. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Emmanuel. And who came after the baby? Temporary king. Temporary kings tried to come after the eternal king. You know why? Because the eternal king was going to get it done. Well, guess what the Bible tells us to do? Let's receive this and live like this. It says, hate what is evil. Now, guess what? It didn't say protest it. It said, just hate it. Stay out of it. And cling to what is good. How many of y'all realize there's some good things in the world? Well, just look at your neighbor, just since we forget them, and say, hey, there are some good things in this world. Come on, come on. Come on, tell them. There's some good things in... Pedro, there's some good things in this world. I want these young people to know there's some great things in this world. In this world, guess what? Here's going to be some good things this week. We're going to eat some good food. How many of y'all going to eat some good food? Amen? How many of y'all like good food? Okay, now don't be ashamed of that, because God said at the end there's a big banquet. Some of y'all saying, I'm getting saved today. Some of y'all going to be glad to eat and 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 eat. And never have to go to gym again. Never see a treadmill again. Never have a waistline problem again. I think that's heaven. You get to keep a six-pack and eat chocolate cake as much as you want. That's heaven. Probably won't have time, chocolate cake. Be caught up in the love of God. Look at here. Look at here. It's interesting. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. God says, now after you receive it, you give it. And guys, this Christmas, I want us to keep opening these presents of love. To love, be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Listen, when you really start loving, you won't think about what you're doing. Pastor Jeff, that's what the Bible's talking about when it says, don't let your right hand know what the left hand is doing. In other words, what God's saying, when you really love in me, it's natural. And when you really love God, you don't have to tell anybody you're doing this for the love of God. Lord have mercy. How many of y'all have ever been through one of those speeches, somebody trying to tell you how humble they are? You know why? Because they're not. You know what humble people do? They do it, say thank you, and go on. That's humility. Oh, man, I used to be around some religious people. I've cut back on that in my life the last, 17 years. And, they'd get up to sing and go, I just want to give glory to God. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's my blessing. I thank Him. I just want to go, shut up and sing. We'll determine if God gave you a blessing or not by what we hear. Live it. It's natural. Be devoted to one another out of brotherly love. So now I want you to give each other a Christmas present. You ready? Look at some human being and tell them this. You ready? Good. I don't even know your name. Give me a name.
Jamie.
Jamie, how are you? Glad you're here today. Jamie, here's what I want you to know. God wants us to live this together. Amen. Cool deal? So y'all tell each other that. We got to talk among ourselves today. Come on, tell them. God wants us to live this together. Come on, confess. God wants us to live this together, wild man. Raising a beautiful blonde up. Bob, God wants us to live this together. Amen. Bob, I'm going to put it in your world. Can you hang sheetrock by yourself? No. Little hard, isn't it? Neither can you live the faith by yourself.
Amen.
Hmm? We in this thing together. How many of y'all glad to know we're going to heaven together?
Amen.
How many? Well, watch this. Here's the way it works. How many of us have been in a barn together?
Amen.
How many of us, when we went to the barn, we always invited a friend?
Yes.
Isn't that interesting? We always want to go to hell by a group. Like you get a group rate discount there or something like that. I mean, think about this. You've never seen anybody just do this. All right, I'm going to hell by myself. Y'all ever see people like, no, you want to take somebody with you. Yeah, hey, let's go do this. Well, I don't think that's a good idea. Oh, come on. Come on. What if those of us who claim Christ were as devoted to the goodness of God among one another as those who oppose Christ are to destroying? What if we were promoting building up one another as much as others are destroying humanity? I wonder if the star would shine brighter. Yeah? Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. And he goes on, he said, love does this. Honor one another above yourselves. See if you can make his confession to another human. I ain't going to do it to family. Beth Ann, I want you to have it better than me. Shane, I want you to have it better than me. I've had 2 kids. I want you to have 10 kids. Reynolds, you've started. We'll stop you at 8, all right? Huh? Ward, I'm not speaking anything like that near you. Even in jail. Huh? Look at your neighbor and say, I want you to have it better than me. Come on. I want you to have it better than me. Now, wait a minute. Wow. I want you all to know that you just made the toughest confession you can make as an American. That's the toughest confession you can make as an American because guess what? You just went against everything your brain was trained to think. Ever since I was born into this world has taught me as a man, I got to win and I got to be better than anybody around me. And then Jesus comes into my life and he said, no, I want you to make the others around you better. Because that's when I become best in you. Be devoted to one another out of brotherly love. And he goes on and he says, honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Hello. How many of y'all feel a little more Christmassy today? Come on, Scottsville Road's going, slow down a little bit. If you don't have that present by now, you aren't getting it. Chill out. Your husband's got underwear. You don't need another set. Just chill out. You can hit him at Valentine's Day with some with hearts on them or something. All right, just watch. How many of y'all had a little bit better Christmas this year because you got your mind off all the rush and started, yeah. I really want to encourage you to keep doing that. Now, don't rush. All you beautiful ladies, something will burn on the Christmas meal. So, have Christmas. If something's going to happen, have Christmas. The poinsettia, the leaf will fly off on the way over to Grandmama's. Embrace Grandmama. Amen. So never be lacking in zeal. Zeal for what? The love of God. Let it come out and touch somebody. Amen. That's what's Christmas. By the way, I think we ought to just keep Christmas spirit moving on through since it's with us always.
Amen.
Instead of worrying about saying Merry Christmas, maybe we ought to say Jesus loves you to the world. Always. I wish we would get to the point that people would say at Walmart, here comes old Jesus, people. Who sold you your house? Ah, it's one of them Jesus people. What'd they do? Ah, they cut me a fair deal. Who do you got working for you? Ah, a bunch of those Jesus people. They show up to work on time. They give you a good hard day's work. If you need something extra, they step in when you're out even bugging them. They're the best people I've ever seen, those Jesus people. Do they protest? No. They proclaim a love that is unexplainable. They change the world. Those Jesus people. I think we're on our way to having that reputation. Keep it up. Amen? Keep giving it out. And on the way, let's have a good time, because look what it says. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor. How many of y'all know what fervor is? Never forget God loves you. When you're in the barn, don't forget God loves you. When you're in the castle, don't forget God loves you. When you have nothing, don't forget God loves you. When you've been given abundance, don't forget that God loves you. Because all in the end, when it's all said and done, there's one statement that echoes through eternity. God loves me so much. So much that He sent Himself to this earth, that whosoever believes in Him will not, shall not, cannot die, but will have everlasting life. Oh, let the fervor move. Amen. Now, can I tell you something? I'm going to get quiet here in just a minute. Can I tell you something? You need to let that spiritual fervor, it needs to move into the schoolhouse. And it needs to move into the job site. And it needs to move into your marriage. And it needs to move into your children. And it needs to, how many of y'all are grandparents? Got a lot of grandparents in here. Amen. Grandparents, guess what? It's the greatest thing my son said about my mother. He was older, cognitive, like fixing to go to college. We were driving down the road. He looked at me and he said, "Dad." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Grandmama prayed with me." I said, "Yeah." He said, "Man, there's something way deep in her." I said, "She heavy, Blake." I said, "She lives in heaven more than she does on earth." I said, "When Grandmama dies, I said, she'd be more at home where she's going, because she lives there more in the presence." He said, "What about us?" I said, "Thank God we saved, boy." "Thank God we saved." But I said, "I want to get to where she has gotten to." My mama taught me to do one thing. She got that from her mama. Y'all see how this stuff's passed down? My mama has never met a bad person. She'll go to the jail and say, "You know what? God loves you. And you may have made a mistake, but it's not big enough to keep you away from God." Man, I wish I could be like that. Sometimes I go like this: "You stupid person. Hope they keep you in here for 50 years. Need to lock somebody up, ain't got that kind of sense." Does that sound like Jesus? God, I hope not. My mama got it from her grandmama. Her mama had all kinds of problems according to the world. She had had polio. She couldn't hear. She had arthritis. Somehow or another, she managed to play the church organ and communicate fully because she could read your lips. Amazing human being. Best jewel. She's in a great cloud of witnesses. She's really happy today because I have a white shirt on and a tie. And preachers ought to have a white shirt on and a tie when they preach God's holy word. But you know what? If we'll find the wonder in each other, Jesus will point it out. And in every human being, there's a place that God loves. And if you'll live in that spiritual fervor, He'll show it to you. He'll show it to you. He goes on, and I got to finish up. And he says this: never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. I mean, I'm glad to be serving the Lord. You know why we're having Christmas? Because it serves the Lord. And it goes on, he says, do this now. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, and faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. God is love. And since God's in you, now you go be the love of God. And I'll quote some of our younger pastors who got it right early on. I believe they got this from a brother named Rob Bell. Love wins. And the reason love wins is because love is God. And God wins. Amen? Let's stand together. I want to invite you today, if you've never asked Christ into your life. All right, y'all, just look, it's a moment. Do y'all realize that the same Jesus that came to the barn is the same Jesus that will come into somebody's precious life, just like Debbie's life, just like all of our lives here. But guess what? I guarantee you there's somebody here today that needs to be loved by God. I'm talking no matter what. He said, Pastor Steve, are you serious? It gets me in a lot of trouble with religious folks. People tell me about our people all the time and say, you know y'all got people over at Hillview that drink beer? I said, yeah, they've been out drinking with y'all's church members. I know. See, we got to get past all that superficial religious hokey stuff. Gosh! I believe Jesus is more angry at that than he is MTV. He came to love us. And if you embrace the love, then you'll quit the stuff. But you're not going to quit to be loved. You're going to be loved. And that's enough to change you. So today, whoever it is, maybe it's hundreds of us, maybe it's a few of us, but there's some of us today that need to say, Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I'm in the barn, and I need you to meet me today. God, I know you for real. And God, I ask you right now to come into my life and forgive me of all my sin, all of it. And so, Lord, I thank you that you're born, and now I want you to be born in me because I'm going to receive your love. You know what? If you just said, Jesus, I'm really confused. Please come into my life and help me. He'll answer that prayer. Do you know without him there is no salvation, but in him all things, all love can be in you. So why don't you say today, Lord Jesus, come in my life. Come in my life. Change me forever. Maybe today you need to come and you just need to kneel down here and say, God, I just want to say thank you today. That in spite of what I've been, you've still been God. In spite of what I said, you still said you love me. In spite of where I misspoke, you still spoke the love of God into my life. God, in spite of where I stepped away, you still stepped through. Amen? How many of y'all could just thank God for all year being God, and that's enough? He loves you. And so, Lord Jesus, as we come to this altar right now, and you come right now as I'm talking, Jesus, you've already done enough, Lord, but I'd just like to ask you at this particular altar, at this particular moment in history, that you would just allow us to understand how much you love us. You love all of us. Lord, some of us speak in tongues and shout and holler, and the others of us fold our arms, and it really doesn't matter, God. You love all of us, and you love all those expressions. Oh, Lord Jesus, I pray right now for those that need to come and say, I love you, Jesus, and I need to be baptized. I love you, Jesus, and I need to be healed. I love you, Jesus, and I'm not losing faith in your love. Folks, we can fill this altar up. I want you to know there's room in this altar. If we got to push these chairs back, so be it. We'll push them back. There's room at this altar. Come on, if you need to be baptized today, maybe today it made sense. Jesus will come to your barn. So Lord, just speak your truth. Oh God, may we understand your grace, your love, your hope, your joy, your peace, your patience, your kindness. Oh God, we pray. Oh Lord, we pray. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.
That was it.